Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name. For your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Amen.
When we think of the Old Testament, the two covenants of God come to mind. First, there's the Old Covenant, describing God's approach and response to his chosen people and to others at that time. Then, in the New Testament, change occurs as God is expressed through his Son, making himself known and accessible to all through salvation. The contrast is made all the more by the style of writing and the emphasis placed on certain things and people, all of which can make the Old Testament seem inaccessible, difficult at times to understand, and less than personal. Yet there is one exception, and that is in the writing of the Psalms. The Hebrew title simply means praise songs, and in Greek is pronounced as psalmoi. In other words, songs to the accompaniment of stringed instruments. But the Psalms are more than songs, for they are personal expressions that relate to God, reach out to God, and seek God's guidance and direction. And so in the midst of all that's said in the Old Testament, these are very personal words that grapple with difficulty, challenge, and even at times depression, and much as well as hope, triumph, joy, and jubilation. For the Psalms express the extent of life's experience in relation to God. And that's something that we, or anyone, can understand. In total, there are 150 Psalms, and with few exceptions, each are separate and distinct. A variety of different authors are also ascribed, and typically they are King David, who wrote 73, Asaph, who wrote 12, the sons of Korah, who wrote 10, Moses, who wrote 1, Heman the Israelite, who also wrote 1, and Ethan the Ezraite, who wrote 1 further. And beyond that, 2 Psalms are attributed to Solomon, whilst the remaining number remain simply anonymous. But the Psalms can be categorized still further. They can be divided into 5 books with particular themes or emphasis. First, Psalms 1 to 41. These are mainly written by King David and are similar to the book of Genesis in that they describe creation, the effect of sin, and the possibility of redemption. Second are Psalms 42 to 72. Again, King David is recognized as their author, but the sons of Korah are also ascribed. And this time, there is similarity to the book of Exodus. For just as Exodus described the nation of Israel, so these Psalms describe the effect of ruin and then recovery. Adding that if God can rescue a nation, He can rescue individuals too. Then, third, come Psalms 73 to 89. These are attributed to Asaph or his descendants and read like the book of Leviticus. For just as the tabernacle and God's holiness are the focus of that book, the temple and God's enthronement are also mirrored in the Psalms, encouraging the reader to worship and to revere God. Fourth comes Psalms 90 to 106. For the most part, their authors are unknown, but these Psalms resemble the book of Numbers, as the relationship of the nation of Israel to surrounding nations is compared to God's overruling kingdom to the other nations. Fifth and finally are Psalms 107 to 150. Again, King David is regarded as the principal author, and these bear resemblance to the book of Deuteronomy. And just as this book is concerned with God and His Word, so too are these Psalms, as anthems of praise and thanksgiving to God, as well as His Word. Beyond that, the Psalms came to be grouped together, and it's most likely that this began through King David. But further arrangements seem possible through the involvement of Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and also Josiah. Despite that, there is little evidence of any psalm being written later than the 5th century BC. And so it's thought that Ezra may well have been responsible for the final arrangement of the Psalms as we find them and know them now. Yet, however they have come to be, and no matter their emphasis or history, the Psalms can speak to us today, for God can still use them to guide, strengthen, and encourage. And because of that, you might want to read them afresh, asking God to help you to understand their words and their meaning. Looking back, I've made many plans. As a younger person, self-belief, certainty, and conviction propelled me on, believing that what I thought could be achievable would. Now, as someone not quite as young, I'm a little more cautious. In the midst of that has been faith, a growing faith, and a growing recognition that my plans need to be in alignment with that of God. Yet for some, that's a difficulty. For somehow, there's a sense, a belief, that whatever God has planned is not what the person had, nor for that matter, what the person wanted. And that's a misconception that I think many Christians wrestle with whether they admit it or not. I know what it's like, for my plans have not always turned out the way I would have imagined. In my case, for example, university beckoned, but not at the time I assumed. The work that I did took a different form from what I originally thought. The house that Andrina and I renovated took much longer to complete than imagined, almost twice the length of time. The family that was expected never arrived until much later, so much so that I once bought a family-sized car which never saw a family, even although it was owned for 7 years. Then, the local Church of Scotland became a home church in a way I would never have believed, and my work with the church arose in the most unexpected of ways. In the midst of that, I've lived in different places, and that has changed more frequently than I would have ever thought possible. And sadly, people have come and gone, sometimes unexpectedly, and often without explanation. Of course, I could tell you more, but one plan which I couldn't have fully foreseen was that of ministry. And that's because for a long time I was unable to recognize God's plan from my own. Yes, there was a call to minister, but how could I give up what I believed I was best at? How might I let go of personal talents and abilities in order to do something else, albeit in Jesus' name? And how would I be able to change from what I believed was my natural gifting to that of another? The answer was through translation. For God enabled me to see that what I believed was my best was indeed translatable into His best. For it's not only architecture that requires vision, leadership, and people skills, it's ministry. And it's not just architecture where planning and building for the future are involved, it's ministry. And it's not just architecture where creativity can be expressed, it's ministry. And it's not just architecture where collaboration and teamwork are to be found, it's ministry. Enabling me to understand more clearly God's plan for my own life. A plan that translates from where I was to where He is. A plan that translates from what I wanted to what He wants. A plan that I've been able and willing to accept in a way that might have puzzled me in times past. Yet it's a way that the psalmist once wrote about. For the psalmist tells us to have confidence in God, to place any confidence that we have in Him and in His direction. But that in itself will not motivate sufficiently. Instead, there's a need to praise God, to recognize who He is, and to acknowledge all the more His involvement in the world and in our lives. That means the giving of our heart in salvation, but also the giving of our heart in discipleship, an ongoing, growing commitment and relationship. But our praise will also become a witness and a testimony. For the one who praises God contradicts the influences of this world. There might be things, there might be voices, there might be forces, but if they're not pointing us in God's direction, they will not be of ultimate worth. And so what is it that would seek to drive you or I? Whatever it is, you can respond by declaring that Jesus is Lord, both over it and over all by praising God, wherever and whenever. When the psalmist wrote, the temple was the focus of attention, but now it is Jesus. And so, for all believers, there is a need to acknowledge Christ, not just historically, or liturgically, or religiously, but as someone who answers prayer. And in that, there is trust and belief as well as faith. There can be a growing conviction that God is at work on our behalf, and with it, an increasing confidence also. Confidence that recognizes that God is God, that He is powerful and mighty to save. For through that confidence, you and I will grow in faith, and the church will grow as other people come to recognize the presence of God with us. In the midst of that, the psalmist says that whatever is secular will not always be so. For this psalm says that whatever institution or authority there is will one day acknowledge the Lord. And that is a call to speak and act and intervene within society as we know it, bringing God's grace, mercy and justice to bear, whilst at the same time convincing others of the love of God. And those who believe can do that because we believe that the God whom we know is present amongst us. The Lord may be on high, but He is aware. For nothing and no one escapes His notice. And that's particularly true of those who are marginalized and impoverished. People who in the context of our world are often regarded as least. Because the psalmist tells us that God is fair, that He is not silent, and nor is He aloof. Meaning that one day there will be a rebalance of the values which so often govern or dictate, making the Christian prerogative to help, to care, to love, and to support. Yet the God that can be praised responds to the praises of His people. And in that response, He is present, not just passively, but actively. For there is nothing that can prevent God from being with us and from acting in us and through us. And that's an invitation to call out to God, to accept and believe and trust that His hand will be holding ours, that His embrace will surround us, that His presence will always be ours, and that His strength can be ours also. Which brings us to a place of knowing the plan of God for our life. For the psalmist was convinced that God is committed to those who believe. This may well have been written for the nation of Israel, for God's chosen people, yet it carries with it a promise that is timeless. For God's plan, we are told, will be fulfilled. And in the midst of that plan, there's a need to trust that God seeks to work within your life, our life, in a way unimaginable before. A way that will increase our confidence, your confidence and mine. A way that will increase our faith day by day. A way that will encourage us to make plans and have plans, but to enable them to be directed by the Lord. A way that will ensure that those plans are bold and brave in Jesus' name, imagining and envisaging the church and church life, believing that other people will become Christians, trusting that the parish and all that lies around us will be transformed, but most of all, recognizing that God desires to work within us, that His best is for our best, that even in the midst of whatever it is we might face, He is there, that He is working out His plan and His purpose to heal our pain, to release from sin, to change our heart, to transform our mind, and to promote our actions. Which reminds me that left to my own devices, my plans would have taken me away from God time after time. But that more times than not, His plan has enabled me to experience more of Him again and again, and to know more of Him than I would have believed possible. For even although many of my plans have failed or come to nothing, all that He has for me and you remains. Not only that, it continues. And more than that, it endures. For God's love lasts forever. And His plan is for us all to share that together. And for as many to share it together as well. As for me, I'm now looking forward all the more when it comes to making plans. Looking forward in faith. Let us pray. Lord, we give to You our plans, whatever they are, past, present, and future. And as we do, our prayer is that You will take them and take us all, enabling us to be part of Your plan. A plan that will change this world and enable a better world to come, as we too are changed by you. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.